بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We finished the tashahud. Now we are on Salah Ibrahimiyya, and we'll quickly go through this, inshallah ta'ala. So what do we say? We say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. O Allah, send prayers upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and upon the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just as you sent prayers upon Ibrahim and upon the followers of Ibrahim. Certainly you are full of praise and majesty. O Allah, send blessings upon Muhammad and upon the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just as you have sent blessings upon Ibrahim and upon the family of Ibrahim, certainly you are full of praise and majesty. And again, this is in your handouts if you don't have it memorized. Number one, some points we can take. Number one, as we already mentioned when we said As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, that the salam you send on the Prophet reaches him. So just like you're feeling that I am sending salam and the Prophet's returning my salam to me when you say that part of tashahud, feel the same thing when you say this dua. This is the whole thing, is a dua on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's number one. Number two, the Prophet said in a hadith, it's recorded in the Muslim of Imam Ahmad, in a Hassan hadith, he says, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ يُصَلِّي عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا صَلَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مَا دَامَ يُصَلِّي عَلَيْهِ فَلْيَقِلِّ الْعَبْدِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ أَوَلْ يَكْثُرُ. He says that so long as you pray upon me, there is an angel praying for you. So now when you're saying this dua, you know that it's reaching the Prophet ﷺ, and you also know that there is an angel also praying for you. So again, it increases our khushu'. We were like, wow, there's an angel praying for me at this position of prayer. That's awesome. So that's number two. Number three, what's interesting, what we learn about this from this dua, is who is the standard here? Who is the standard? Ibrahim alayhi salam. We're saying, oh Allah, send blessings and prayers upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just like you did Ibrahim. So that teaches us the status of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he is considered by the ulama the second greatest prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you know what's interesting in the narration, Musa alayhi salam, he tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, oh Allah, I have seen that you have praised Ibrahim and Ishaq and Ya'qub in your books. I've seen that you frequently praised them. So by what virtue did they earn the blessing of being praised in your books? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Ibrahim, to Musa alayhi salam, says, as for Ibrahim, what was the characteristic of Ibrahim that caused him to be praised in the books of Allah? He says, as for Ibrahim, he was never given a choice between two things, except he chose me. What does that mean? Allah says, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. Ibrahim alayhi salam was tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he completed all the tests. He was told, leave your wife and child in the desert where there's no food or water. He said, I will do it. He was told to slaughter his son. He did it. Now, what's interesting is, it's kind of, if you just look at it from a rational perspective, is it rational to slaughter your son? No. Is it rational to leave your wife and child in the middle of a desert? No. But why did he do it? Because Allah told him to do it. And when Allah tells us something, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, we listen and we obey. So what's interesting now is, you find this, again, this plague in the Muslim Ummah, people are rationalizing everything. You know what? In this day and age, it's 2012, I can never afford a BMW except if I take the interest loan, gotta pay interest on the car. You know, Allah wants ease for us. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرُ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرُ. Allah doesn't want difficulty. Mashi, I'll take the loan. You know, and this is in my state, and where I came from, it's a big problem with the sisters. Everybody says hijab is culture. I don't know where this came from. Hijab is not culture. Hijab is a commandment of Allah. But it's culture, so yeah. The believer, Ibrahim alayhi salam, what gave him the distinction of being praised in the books of Allah is whenever a decision was made, a decision was to be made, he chose Allah. And so, brothers and sisters, what's more rational? To pray five times a day or to slaughter your son? Ibrahim listened, but do we listen? What's more easier to understand? To wear hijab or to leave your wife and child in the middle of a desert? But we believe that Ibrahim did everything, he submitted to Allah, but yet when it comes to our lives, we don't apply the same standard. I'm going to rationalize everything. I'm going to say everything is... No. Ali ibn Abi Talib, he says, if the religion was based on rationalization, then when it comes to wiping for wudu, when we wipe our feet, he says, we would wipe the bottom of our feet, because that's what's dirty. But what did the Prophet ﷺ do? He wiped the top, so we wipe the top. So we, whatever Allah and His Prophet tell us, we submit to. No more questions asked. That's the meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now, a couple more points we'll end and we'll move on, is Ubay ibn Ka'b, he goes to the Prophet and he asks him, Ya Rasulullah, how much, kam aj'alu laka min salati, how much of my dua, he used the word salat, which means dua, how much of my dua should I send blessings upon you? Let's say he's going to make dua for 10 minutes. How long should I make? He says, should I make a quarter of it upon you? Like 2.5 minutes. And he says, do whatever you want, but if you increase it, it's better for you. He says, what about half? He says, do whatever you want, but if you increase it, it's better for you. He says, what about two-thirds, 6 minutes and 40 seconds out of 10 minutes I'm spending making dua for you? That's only 33% for myself. See, the Prophet says, if you want, go ahead and do that, but if you increase it, it's better for you. So then he says, okay, what if I make all of my dua for you? All 10 minutes, I don't even get to what I want to ask. I just make all of my dua, as-salam ala nabi. We send salam upon the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ says, if you do that, idhan tukfa hammuk wa yughfaru laka dhanbuk. If you do that, Allah will take care of all of your concerns and all of your sins will be forgiven. SubhanAllah. So when we send salam on the Prophet, brothers and sisters, this has a lot of power. Don't underestimate this part of dua. And now we learn the etiquette of dua. We praise the Prophet, we praise Allah, then we send salam on the Prophet, then we ask Allah whatever we want to ask. Ibn Mas'ud, he states that I was praying in the presence of the Prophet Abu Bakr and Umar, and I said tahiyyat, then I said as-salah ibrahimiyyah, then the Prophet told me when I did that, he said, ask and you shall be given, ask and you shall be given. Hasan Sahih, in the books of Imam al-Tirmidhi. So what does that mean? Brothers and sisters, as I mentioned that, you know, this part of salah is like a cherry on top, this is the part where Allah gives us the opportunity. Before we end this beautiful journey of salah, where we've talked to Allah and we've asked Allah and everything, before you leave this prayer, Allah is giving you the opportunity, before you end, one more time, ask me whatever you want, I will give it to you. Ask me whatever you want, I will. It's a time that dua is answered. It's a beautiful blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like, you know, if you're sitting with your best friend says, hey, before you leave, you need anything else? This is how Allah loves us. He's asking, do you need anything else? Now, specifically, there is one dua the Prophet ﷺ taught us to make, and this is in your handouts. Before you say taslim, before you say salam out of salah, the Prophet ﷺ said to say, he says, you know, ista'idh min billahi min arba'. He says, seek refuge in Allah from four things. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab jahannam wa min adhab al-qabr wa min fitnat al-mahya wal-mamat wa min sharri fitnat al-masih ad-dajjal. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from four things: from the punishment of the hellfire and the punishment of the grave and the fitna of life and death, the trial of life and death, and I seek refuge in you from the trial of masih ad-dajjal. Every salah we should make this dua in Sahih Muslim. Now the question begs to be asked, I understand fitna of life, fitna of death, fitna of the trial of hellfire and the punishment of the grave. But what about Masih al-Dajjal? Why do we say Masih al-Dajjal in every single prayer? We seek refuge in Allah from this trial. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that there is no prophet who was ever sent to his nation except that he talked to them about al-Dajjal. Every prophet in the history of the world. The Prophet ﷺ said that there will come a time when you do not hear Dajjal being spoken about from the mimbar. When you don't hear any khutbah about Dajjal, then know that his coming is imminent. You know, the Sahaba said one time, the Prophet talked to us about Dajjal so much that we thought he was outside of Medina trying to come in. But nowadays, if a khutbah is given about Dajjal, you know what would happen? People will go to the Imam after and say, Shaykh, keep it real, man. Talk about real issues. Why are you talking about Dajjal? I mean, really, Dajjal? Out of all things you can talk, the topic is going to be Dajjal? The Prophet said, this is serious. He says, the one, when the time comes, when he's not spoken about on the mimbar, then know his coming is imminent. We are at that time. You never hear a khutbah about Dajjal. But this was a serious fit that the Prophet, he says, is so serious that he'll come at a time of drought. So there'll be no food or water, and he will command the sky to rain, and it will rain. He'll command the earth to bring forth its fruits, and it will bring forth its fruits. A man will come to him, and he will tell him, believe in me. He will say, no. He'll say, okay, fine, I'm going to resurrect your parents. And a jinn will come in the form of his father and mother who have died already and say, oh my son, oh my daughter, follow him. We have died and found that he is the true God. What a fitna. You see your own mother and father who has already died and they're telling you, follow Dajjal. This is serious. So we make in our dua and every single salah, we ask Allah to protect us from the fitna of Masih al-Dajjal. Now we say to end the prayer, after this cherry on top, after we can make whatever dua we want, we say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, and we end the prayer. Now, is there any reflection on this? Now, the only thing I've been able to learn, and it's from my teacher, he said that, one of my teachers, Sheikh Abdul Nasir, who's our teacher, he says that, subhanAllah, the ulama, they say, Inna salata min al-akhirah. Salah, you know, we've talked about this amazing journey of salah. Isn't it amazing? Like, if we can internalize these things, our lives would be different. It's like now you're saying, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. It's like you're leaving this journey of salah and coming back into this world. You say salam, and you leave this journey of salah, and you come back into the journey, into this world.